Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 38 of Bardic Quest, the show where a group of British-trained actors tell fantastical improvised stories through the medium of Dungeons and Dragons. Unfortunately, as mentioned, the last couple of weeks we are without Nina this session because she's working on her latest acting job. So we are going to be without Saga for the next several weeks of episodes, but we're hoping she'll be back with us in a few weeks' time. If you've been thinking as well, in terms of merch, of getting hold of some, then now is a great time. Head on over to bardicquest.com/shop, where you can get 22% off of everything for today only. That's 22% off for the 16th of June, 2022. We've got t-shirts for men, women, and bags as well. So don't wait around. Check out bardicquest.com/shop and order yours today. And also, finally, another big shout out to James Webster, who's the artist behind our opening credit sequence and some of these backgrounds, certainly that I've been using. So do show your appreciation for him and check out his Patreon at patreon.com/JamesRPGArt, where he posts beautiful animated artwork regularly, which I would definitely recommend using at your table, particularly if you play virtually online like we do. So thank you from us, James, for allowing us to use your glorious artwork. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode of Bardic Quest. Last time, our heroes continued their expedition into the wilderness in the hopes of locating the old owl well and, by association, the red wizard known as Harmon Kost. Along their journey, they stumbled upon a tree trunk which had various items laid out. A locket containing a picture of a dwarf, a set of cloth of gold vestments, and indeed a potion of healing. Our heroes spotted some tracks leading away from the tree trunk, heading off the road and headed north into the wilderness, which they followed, and which led to a worn / ruined house. A little bit of miscommunication there from the DM to the players. They decided to knock on the door in the hopes of finding what they suspected to be a dwarven friend, and discovered that the house was being occupied, in fact, by an owlbear. Which answered the door in a rather feral kind of way. So we now pick up with Thoric stood in the doorway, face to face with an owlbear screaming in his face, with Sergei and Johan just a few feet behind him. So shall we roll for initiative, folks?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Pretty good, actually. 21.
21 for Sergei.
17.
Oh, hang on. 21 for Sergei. 17 for Johan. How much for Thoric?
3.
3 for Thoric. Oh, jeez.
I think it's quite appropriate.
Yeah, I think you were certainly caught off guard. I think it's appropriate. I won't go so far as to do a surprise round, because you did hear something coming.
Of course they're coming to the door quickly. That's not a beard.
Oh, hang on. Something didn't save here. What was yours, Sergei?
21.
21. And what was yours, Johan?
17.
17. Thank you. Okay, so you'll be pleased to know, Sergei, you're up first. So, okay. What would you like to do?
I'd quickly like to use my bonus action to bardically inspire Thoric. And just,
nice.
You're doing great, keep it up!
And then I'm going to pop my mouth and cast Dissonant Whispers at second level to try and push this beast back into the building.
Ooh.
Okay.
It must make a wisdom saving throw, and it has to beat a 12, so it's got a high chance.
A wisdom saving throw, it's got to beat a 12.
Yeah.
Ooh. A 6.
Okay,
so
it'll take 4d6 of psychic damage, and must immediately use its reaction, if available, to move as far as its speed allows it away from you.
Okay, nice.
It doesn't move onto dangerous ground, such as fire or a pit, but yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, great. So, could you roll for the damage then for me, please?
Yes. 13.
13 damage, okay. Alright, so you kind of hear it scream as you affect its psyche. And so it needs to move its speed away from you, Sergei, is it?
It's full reaction to move as far away from me as possible, as it can possibly move.
Full reaction, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, it's screaming in Thoric's face. You cast Dissonant Whispers.
I scream back.
Screaming in it. which startles the owlbear, and it kind of lets out a shriek and starts to head. It first heads back into the house, and you kind of see it kind of stumble and smash through kind of a partly ruined wall at the back of the house and starts to move into the plains behind. Anything else you'd like to do, Sergei?
That's my whole go. That's my action and my bonus action.
All right. So,
in fact, can I use my move just to keep chasing it?
Of course you can. Yeah, okay, sure. So it's a little quicker than you are,
yeah.
But you managed to keep certainly keep close to it, for sure. Okay. Johan, so you've just seen Sergei scream back at the owlbear, which seems to have startled it, and run away, with Sergei recklessly somewhat chasing after this large creature, which is standing about 8 feet tall, making Sergei look even tinier than he already does.
First of all, look to Thoric and say, friend of yours?
No.
Or my eyes. Then, okay, what I want to do is... Is there a hole, like, in the sort of roof of the house that I can sort of climb up and then jump through to try and get him from... Because I don't want to go through the front door, so I was wondering if I can get through the side or, like, through a hole in the roof to try and cast stab.
Well, the owlbear now is certainly out of reach of you being able to melee it anyway, because it's running off away from Sergei. So Sergei's about 30 feet away from you, and the owlbear's about 10 feet in front. So to get in melee range, you're going to have to move twice. So you're going to basically have to dash to get into melee range from where you are now.
All right, then. Well, what I'll do is I'll get around the house.
Yep.
And sort of climb up to a vantage point where I can next go, jump down, and Assassin's Creed this stabby stab. Is that possible?
Well, again, because it's running away, because it's used its reaction to run away thanks to Dissonant Whispers,
right.
It's run kind of back into the house and through the other side.
Oh, through the other side, I see what you mean.
Yeah, so it's kind of away from the house now, so it would... be nearly impossible for you to jump even off the house on top of
Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Okay, I use a cunning action to hide in, like, some... Not actually hide, I'm hoping that it will come back and I can then... Like, if it comes near me, I can attack of opportunity stab.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no problem. Cool. That's fine.
Could Ollie prepare an action if it comes back to stab it?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Awesome.
Thanks, Isaac.
So, now it's the owlbear. Does it get opportunity to resave, or does it have to continue?
No, I think it's only the reaction it runs for, so now it's fine.
Oh, right, so now it's like... Okay, sure. All right. You see it kind of slow down, Sergei, as you're chasing after it. And then you see it kind of quickly turn back around. And it screams in your face. Okay. And it is going to attack you twice here.
Oh boy.
Okay. First of all, it's going to try and attack you with its large claws. Okay. So that's going to be... Ouch, 24 against your AC.
That definitely hits. My AC is nice. 11.
And that's going to be... Oh, shit. That's going to be... 14 slashing damage against you.
This is fine.
Does that knock you out?
No. I've got 12 HP left.
But it is also going to attack you with its beak.
This is also fine.
However, that is going to be 9 against your AC, so I'm guessing that that's going to miss.
Yeah.
Thoric, you're up.
Okay. So how far away is it from me?
From you, it's probably about 40 feet away from you. So it's, again, to get into melee range, you're going to have to dash. It's a little bit quicker than all of you, because it's so large.
Okay. Thoric is going to... I have a few more spells to play with, which is nice. But I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to move... So it's 40 feet away. I'm going to move 25 feet forwards towards it.
Okay.
Just at a normal pace. And as I'm doing it, Thoric, like, puts his hammer into his shield hand. It's like, right. Well, you think you're all that, do you? You think you're going to keep one of my things? He starts, like, muttering in Dwarvish, and he's like, Thorfinn, or will you, eh? You don't know how it's going to go for you now, do you? And he raises his palm, and he sort of focuses his will. The silver rings start to glow, and he speaks a very harsh but powerful word. And I can use Guiding Bolt, and... This huge, like, flash of light just bursts from his fist and just goes streaking towards this owlbear.
Okay. Do you ranged. Want to give me the roll to hit, please?
It's a ranged spell tank.
Don't forget you have Bardic Inspiration.
I do. So that is an... A 16 without using Bardic Inspiration.
A 16, did you say, sorry?
Yep, 16. I haven't had to use it. I will use it if I can have to, but...
I see. That should actually be enough. This guiding bolt just flies out from your rings and hurls at the owlbear, doing how much damage?
4d6. So, ooh. Yeah, it's a big boy.
Big boy.
I'm only casting it at first level, but let's see what we can do. Bless you.
Thank you, sorry.
True silver bless you, boy. That's a six. That's a three. That's 17 points of radiant damage.
17 points of radiant damage. Okay.
And before the end of my next turn, the next attack made on it is at advantage as mystical dim light glitters. It's like this residue of sparkling silver energy just kind of where it just blasts into it. It's kind of like the sheen of magical energy, which makes it easier to see and therefore hit.
Nice. Okay, great. Good. All right. So, Sergei, then. Have we lost James?
Hello, my camera appears to have just stopped, so I'm just... looking...
Edit, run, let's fix this in post. You seem to have disappeared, sir.
Wait, it's...
Hello!
Weirdly back
on. Try turning it off and on again.
I plugged in my webcam to use, and now it's working again.
Oh, how weird.
Very odd.
Okay. Sergei, you're now up, so you've just taken a bit of a beating from this owlbear, and you've had a little bit of magical support from behind you from Thoric, who's now lit up this creature with divine energy. What would you like to do?
Okay. I would like... If I move away, do I invoke opportunity of attack?
Yes, you would, yes.
Okay. Could I therefore draw my rapier and stabby stab?
Okay, sure, yeah.
End of my ground.
You have advantage because he's lit up like a Christmas tree.
Lovely. I don't think I need it because that is a solid 18.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that'll hit.
Excellent. And that is the 8. Do I add anything to damage again? Is it dexterity?
So it should be on your... Have you got D&D Beyond up? It should tell you exactly how
much
it should be.
It just says 1d8 of damage.
Yeah, you should add your dexterity modifier plus your proficiency if you're proficient with the rapier.
Okay. Therefore, that'll be a 8.
8, okay.
8 points of damage.
Nice. All right. So you managed to pierce into the side of this owlbear, which lets out a massive screech as you kind of pierce the skin and a little bit of blood starts pouring out onto its feathered fur. Is there anything else you'd like to do?
I suppose... Ooh, what can I do for a bonus action? Not a lot. No, I'll just kind of take a defensive position, I guess.
Okay. Cool. Alrighty. So, that then brings us to Johan. So you're currently sat ready and waiting. You've seen Thoric hurl a guiding bolt at this owlbear and Sergei take a little bit of a beating before managing to get in a good hit on the creature. What would you like to do?
Am I now behind it?
So you're still near the house, if I understand
it
rightly. Yeah. Thoric is kind of near you. Sergei's about 40 feet ahead, maybe 30 feet ahead.
Okay. So is the owlbear facing me? Like, it can see me?
Yes, it can definitely see you, yes.
Oh, never mind. Okay, then. I'm gonna... I could try something really ballsy, but if I would probably provoke an attack of opportunity. So I simply run up to the owlbear and try and get on its flank and initiate a stab into the old gut.
Okay. Can we roll to hit then, please?
Yeah. I suppose it's in no way surprised, as it is... It can see me.
Afraid not.
No problem. But I still get advantage, correct?
Yes.
Woo!
Because it's lit up like a Christmas tree. Is it just the next attack, actually, Thoric?
It was so... It would have been on James's attack and James's attack only, because it's okay. The next attack.
In which case, then, it's not with advantage, I'm afraid to say.
My rapier does not hit.
That is a shame.
My dagger, on the other hand, might. We shall see. That would be 13 plus 5, which is 18.
That will hit.
Lovely.
Did you roll the damage for me?
Yes. Yes. That's 1d4. I'm 4th d4. 1d4 plus 3. And because I have an ally within... very close by, I can add 2d6.
Woohoo! 2d6? Just for having somebody nearby.
That's sneak attack, boy. Within 5 feet, right? And I believe the lads are on my side.
Yep.
So then, Uno d4. That's 4 plus 3, which is 7. Plus 1d6. 2, so that's 9. And another d6. 3, so that's 12.
If I may quote Shang Tsung for a moment, finish him.
So, I sort of run towards him, approach his side and kind of slide on the dirt, try to go for a rapier swim but miss, but then dagger, and then unseam him from one side of his gut to the other and then slide out the other side.
And just dropping this large creature with a large thud on the ground.
Ouch. Oh, there's guts everywhere.
Well, that wasn't a cleric.
Really? Really?
I'm sorry. It was a house. I didn't expect there to be a bloody owlbear in it. In fact, I don't think anyone did.
Johan is really, really resisting the urge to say I told you so. But decides, let's just search the house and see if we can find anything useful.
Thoric will head in, making sure people aren't just like ransacking things. He wants to kind of like know what's going on first. He thinks he knows what's going to happen.
Before Sergei goes in, it's going to take a moment standing over the owlbear, and while the other two go, he's just going to go to himself. Yeah, owlbear killer. Skin that thing away. Not so skinny now, are you? I'll head back inside.
Like, I love the thing the owlbear twitches and he's like
I'll run back.
Okay, so you're heading back into the house, which is from the inside looks very much to be this creature's den. It's littered with bones of various different animals. What remains of the furniture is mainly all shattered, with like half broken chairs and tables littering around. Lots of just detritus just on the floor. It's certainly not homely, that's for sure.
I roll an investigation check to see if I can find any signs of recent activity that aren't to do with the owlbear. Maybe some snags of clothing, some boot marks on the floorboards, maybe if there are indeed floorboards or the ground.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Roly. So that's 2 plus 12, which is 14.
14. Recent activity, it's hard to say. It's somewhat a little bit like a butcher's shop in here. in many respects. There's lots of bones and fleshy bits from this creature's various meals and things. Certainly not pleasant. The smell is pretty vile as well. One of just like rotting meat and decay. You do find in amongst some of the bones and fleshy bits some unfortunately human and dwarvish clothing. This thing doesn't seem to be too picky on what it eats.
Well, if your priest was here, might have ended up with the rest.
Does it look like whoever this was is amongst the victims? Surely they'd be more recent if... Thorix identified a body or two in his time.
Do you want to give me a survival check, please? I think it's probably the best option there.
Okay. Oh. That is a 16.
Okay. From what you can see, it's looking highly likely.
Is there any... this person left their pack and ran this way. Why?
And there was a statue, human-made, to either this owlbear or two owlbears in general.
Was it a warning that they're in the area? Was it like a...
Maybe they used to worship it as some kind of guardian protector of the forest?
Could be.
Maybe they used to offer themselves to it as some sort of ritual sacrifice.
I mean, we're still pretty much in Phandalin. I mean, it's pretty dark for here, to be fair. But then again, there was an eye monster down the road, so maybe not so far-fetched after all. Is there any... I mean, going through, and Thorik's not that worried about like getting his hands dirty. Do I find the actual body of whoever this was or what's left of them? Do I find any holy symbols, any details of where this dwarf might have come from? Are they male? Are they female? Are they, you know, where might they have come from? Would they have come from my city in Mirabar? Were they from somewhere else? Were they a wanderer? You know, can I get any of this detail from anything I might be able to find?
Yeah, give me an investigation check.
I'm not good at that. 9.
9? No, not really. You find, as you're kind of searching around, you do pick up a few copper pieces in amongst the stuff. I would say, to be specific... 16 copper pieces. But in terms of personal effects, you can't seem to find anything in amongst the remains.
I give Sergei the 16 copper pieces. And
Thorik, you didn't have to.
Thorik doesn't answer me, seems quite sullen at the moment. Mm-hmm. And he probably walks away from the others and just sort of opens the locket. Is there any, apart from the picture, is there any inscription or any words or any engraving or anything?
Yes, there is a dwarvish inscription just on the inside of the lid. which translates roughly into to my darling father.
My darling father. Fucking hell.
Johan kind of tentatively walks up behind Doric. you all right?
Hi. So. It's a weird one. Look, Johan, I'm not a young dwarf anymore. I spent a lot of time shirking my duties. Despite my sunny disposition now, I wasn't always so. And I still struggle making peace with my affiliations, my calling. And I suppose only now, maybe in the last century, I've actually taken responsibility for my actions and, you know, started caring about other people. I don't know. I'm waffling, but I don't know what your personal relationship with anyone from your order is, but to find someone who shares a lot of similarities with you is both kin and a follower of the same path in some capacity, at least. I don't know. It's quite hard.
I do know something about that.
Well, the vestments that I took as well. Mm-hmm. There's no other sort of insignia. They're just like nice, fine sort of religious vestments.
Yeah, almost. They come across to you as somewhat ceremonial rather than necessarily everyday vestments that somebody might wear.
Okay. Well, I'll have to get these back to their rightful owner. I'll send a letter back to Mirabar and see if they know of anyone.
It's possible that perhaps this creature was once peaceful, and somehow maybe this and the wizard are connected and may have turned this creature into a rabid beast.
Or maybe it was just hungry. And gives him kind of a slightly sympathetic pat on the shoulder and heads back, kind of grumbling to himself.
Speaking of hungry, looks over at the owlbear corpse. Meat.
Already on it. I pull out two daggers. Get marching back and skin as much as I can.
All right. Could you then give me a survival check then, please?
10.
10?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's going to give you about 5 pounds of meat that you can use. Unless you've got anything to preserve it with, of course. This is meat that's going to have to be eaten today in order for you to get the benefits of it, of course, or not risk being poisoned. Mm. But at least for today, you've got an extra 5 pounds of food in the form of fresh meat.
Excellent.
Which is enough to feed the three of you at least for the day.
Yeah, we'll cook that over the campfire later on.
Okay. All right. So, what are you doing now? You're heading back to the road.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we should continue the journey.
Okay. Great. So you head back following the
can
tracks.
We oh, sorry, yeah, I was just gonna say, can we take a short rest for dear Sergei?
You can take a short rest now. Obviously that's gonna be an hour of rest, which might limit your travel for the day, of course, but you are of course welcome to do that now if you
I'm want. Okay to push on, I'll cast Cure Wounds on myself. That's all.
Nice. Okay. Great. So you cast Cure Wounds upon yourself. So how much hit points do you gain back there?
Three.
Well, it's better than nothing. All right, cool. So you get 3 hit points back. Hang on. All right.
Not funny.
Okay, great. So so you head back towards the road following the tracks back, and you travel probably about a further 6 miles, I'd say, before you are now approaching sundown. So you kind of start to need to think about setting up another campsite. Unless, of course, you want to do a forced march and maybe travel for a further hour at risk of some exhaustion, of course.
No, thank you.
let's set up camp.
Okay, cool. Could I get a survival check? A group check if you prefer, or if you want to leave somebody in charge of finding the campsite, that is, of course, up to you.
That's group one. Go on.
Group one? Okay, so if I could get a survival check from all three of you then, please.
18.
18?
6.
6?
15.
15. Oh. Okay, great. So, you do manage to find what actually looks like the remains of a former campsite, which has got loads of like rubbish and things left behind by some other explorers that are long gone, just scattered around the area. Otherwise, perfectly good campsite for the evening. In terms of setting up your campsite, what actions would people like to take?
I will go look for firewood.
Wonderful. Okay. Could you roll a D10 for me then, please? And again, because it's a little bit damp today, we'll minus one from the roll.
D10 it is. I mean, 5 minus 1 is 4.
Okay. All right. That might just be on the cusp of not managing maybe to get you through the night in terms of heat. Does anybody else want to take any other actions?
Looks like I'm going to be cooking up some of this owl bear.
Okay. So in which case somebody's going to need to build that fire. So could I get from one of you, at least for now, a survival check for building the fire?
I can do this one.
Okay.
It's a nat 1, but I do have a lucky perk.
You do, so do please re-roll.
From the floor.
Oh, 11 plus 2 is 13.
Just about passed. Okay, great. So you managed to build this fire and get it lit, ready for Thoric to at least try some cooking on this owlbear meat.
He's not that hard to light, Johan.
Johan is not appreciative of that comment. I will smack you.
So, Thoric, if you're cooking, could I get a wisdom check from you, please, with your proficiency bonus for your cook's utensils?
Excellent. It's a wisdom with cook's utensils. That is going to be a 15. 17.
17?
Sorry, 17.
Lovely. So once again, with your cooking expertise, you managed to produce a exceptionally tasty meal, which means that you're all going to get advantage on any rest checks for the evening, which you're probably going to need, given that the fire is probably not going to last you through the night.
It's a, well, you know, I thought there was only one thing to do with something this gamey. Have it as a seasoned, hay-baked steak with a few mushrooms from our rations, a few dried mushrooms, just to give it a little something. Had a little bit of the wild garlic left over, just to give it a little something. And, of course, lots of pepper to cut through that owliness.
Great. Okay.
Tastes amazing.
So you chow down on your effectively hunt for the day. There's a little bit of a somber tone, perhaps, in the camp this evening, following your discovery of what that owlbear was feasting on. Is there any discussion that any of you guys would like to have prior to settling down to the night?
Please. Before we sleep tonight, just to lift the spirits, I have a little game we could all.
Okay.
Never Have I Ever. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's a simple game. I will say, never have I ever done so-and-so. And if you have done it, you have to say that you've done it. Just a little bonding. Get to know each other, you know?
Okay.
I'll start. Never have I ever lit a fire in the past 2 days.
Johan picks up a twig and throws it at Sergei.
How?
I have. And I sip some water, because that's what
we... Excellent. Thoric, I guess you can do the next one then.
Okay. Never have I ever cast a spell. Takes a little time.
Takes a sip.
We watch and just see. Never? Not one little cantrip?
No, obviously not.
Not a little prestidigitation? Not a little... No, nothing?
Twig.
Bounced off his head.
I cast twig.
You'll go, Johan.
I don't need magic to annoy you. I have never... been chased out of a window by a lover's husband or something like that.
How many times should I drink?
For every time it happened, I thought you said.
Very well. I've got one. Never have I ever had a crush on someone in our traveling party.
Sorry, just like looks at Johan and just gives him a takes a sip and laughs.
Johan crosses his arms and looks away. It's a cold night. It's very cold. It's cold.
Sergei, for that little game, could I please get a charisma check from you, please? And you can do it with advantage because you also have bardic inspiration and are a bard, so...
And a nat 20.
Nice. Okay, great. So I'm going to count that as a bit of camaraderie, which means that as well as the advantage for your rest the next morning, you're also going to each be able to add 1d6 to your next rest check as well.
Oh, excellent.
Okay. Nice.
Okay, great. So, after a day of mixed emotions and your playfulness this evening, you all begin to settle down for the night. So could I get a watch order, please?
I'll take the first watch. So you powered through all day.
Yes, I am absolutely knackered.
Okay.
Very well, I will take second watch.
I suppose I'll take last.
Okay, so you all settle down for the night, except for you, Thoric, who keeps watch for the night, which I think will be a good place, actually, for us to end this episode, as you settle down to your sleep. So, as always, thank you very much, of course, for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe to help us appease the algorithm gods. And, of course, if you are listening on podcasts, do make sure to leave a rating and or review on your podcast app of choice. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will catch you guys next week.
Love you, bye.